You think you're not slaves, but you are. The 9-to-5 existence of your current lives is structured by the American industrial complex, complicit with our government.
So it leaves you really questioning everything you thought you knew.
This sense of separation, this sense of isolation is the thing that is within you and me and makes us feel alien to everything else that's outside of us. So that is why as you sit there within your body and you look out through your eyeballs and you listen through your ears and you look around you, everything else is not you. And you don't fit.
You're listening to Up Is Down with Dean Reiner.
And that's where the word corporation comes in. So to be incorporated essentially means that you lose your right to say no. That's the basic foundation of freedom, is the right in every case to say no. You cannot force me to do this. No, you cannot do anything. That is called a negative or God-given or inherent right, is when you have the power to say no. I guess the point I'm trying to make is if you're really, there's two ends of the spectrum and there's really no in between. You're either enslaved or you're not. And total, if you're looking for true freedom, any other type of freedom is called a franchise. It means you're given rights which can be taken away from you, and you could be, all the rights that are given. Or you have self-governance, you have self-responsibility, you have, right, just like every other creature in nature, except humans, right? This is the kind of mind control and trickery that has befallen us because we've lost the meaning of words. We don't know what these words mean anymore. We use them without understanding. We go to court and we're expected to speak legally, and we speak normally as if we're talking to a normal man. It's a trick. Everything is a trick.
You don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice.
It's a trick. Everything is a trick.
It's you liberals who have lifted them up, Howard.
Paul, you conservatives make a mistake. You can't afford to strangle hope in people. Without hope, people become dangerous.
No, Howard, you liberals have let them invade our society. You give them jobs, political jobs.
Paul, you missed the point. It's only the smart ones we move up.
That makes it even worse.
We have to move them up. If we leave a smart one in the ghetto, he might develop into a leader against us. But if we raise him up into white society, we neutralize him. He feels compelled to try to act like us. He loses his identity and his racial anger, if he has any. He becomes alien to his brothers. They realize he sold them out and they grow to hate him. He becomes worthless to them and safe for us. In fact, in his love for the creature comforts, except for his color, he's become one of us.
You don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice.
It's a trick. Everything is a trick.
Get your shit and go. That's the advice.
Get your shit and go. Welcome back to the Up Is Down podcast with me, your host, your neighbor, your friend, your enemy, your mailman, Dean Reiner, coming at you from the apartment bunker with probably the last. Really, I think this is going to be the last. I know I said that last time. Last time. I'm going to be recording from the apartment bunker in Portland, Oregon. Communist, communitarian, fucking shit town, tire fire, trash fire, disaster of Portland, Oregon. This used to be such a cool place. Now it's just a fucking wreck, dude. I can't stand it. Every time I leave my house, I'm just getting scowled at because I'm not covering up with 3 or 4 different masks. It's insane. I got to get the fuck out of here, and I cannot leave fast enough. And I'm so grateful To all you listeners, donors, supporters out there, all you downloaders who have supported me along the way, it's your fault. I thank you. I blame you. This is all kind of something that we're doing together. And I can't be more scared and more excited at the same time. It's really an amazing, fucking incredible time to be alive. I thought it was appropriate to play that Trick Baby clip from the movie Trick Baby. Thank you, MoFax. And also to round it out with Vin Armani reminding us to get our shit and go. We know that there's no escape of the coronavirus, mind virus, the social control, but at least we can get somewhere if we can, if we have the means, where it might not be so in your face all the time. Where at least my goal is to leave the smart city grid, to get out of the stacked on top of each other population control that is the smart city, that is the progressive cities. Whew, man, things are really heating up over here. Again, I can't thank you listeners enough for all your support, all your donations, all your feedback, all your correspondence, every one of you. Again, shout out to my man Frenchie Pierre. Thank you for your donation. You are the executive producer of episodes 76 and 77 because I'm producing them back to back because I'm trying to tide you guys over for a couple of weeks. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have a chance to record anything for you guys, to produce anything in the next few weeks as I'm literally moving over Christmas, relocating. It's going to be a crazy time of year. It's also going to be happening right around the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter. Lots of crazy things. That is also the solstice. It's supposed to be the end of the beginning and the beginning of the end. And I believe all that. I think it's going to be a really powerful time. And I am feeling fired up. I'm feeling more powerful than ever. My line is in sight. My arrow has been shot. And we are hitting home dead on target. And I am so pleased and honestly terrified. As promised, this is the second half of the episode, the conversation I had with Clint Richardson. We're going to round it out, and we go for a long time, man. Clint's a fucking badass. Clint Richardson is the black sheep, the pariah of this so-called fake truth movement, the dispeller of the patriot mythos, and for that, I have nothing but respect for him. I try to keep a different point of view. I do not subscribe to anything wholeheartedly. I just believe what I believe and I feel what I feel. And I have the freedom and the right to change my mind at any time about anything. And that's the most exciting part about it, is the ability to say no. Still, I have that until they literally take it away from me. And so, without further ado, this is the second half of my conversation with Mr. Clint Richardson. You can find him at Reality Blogger with 1G at WordPress. He's the author and proprietor of strawmanstory.info. I believe that's his blog. You could check out his YouTube channel, which is Red Pill Sunday School. That's Red Pill Sunday School on YouTube. He's the creator of the Lethal Injection documentary, the Corporation Nation documentary. These are huge, hour-long, like, super study masterclasses and the dissection of the real history of the United States and what we are really living in as a corporation nation. It dispels the entire myth of individual freedoms under law. It shits all over the idea that we have a constitutional right to have a voice, that we are actual individuals in the pursuit of peace or prosperity or property, that we are in fact really cattle, products of a corporation. We are the product and we are the consumers of the product. It's a compelling and interesting idea, and I love it, and I feel it in my bones to be true, like the real truth. We didn't even barely, hardly at all get into the coronavirus bullshit, and Clint is a master on that as well. So if you want to know more about Clint Richardson, hear his take on the coronavirus, the hysteria, the vaccine, please check out Red Pill Sunday School on YouTube. Please check out his blog. He's updating all the time, and he's out there on his own, lone wolf, rogue, gone full-on Ronin on this shit, like more Ronin than any other Ronin I know. This guy's the man. If you really want to know what the fuck is going on and outside of the paradigm of the patriots or the truthers, and you want to hear some real factual evidence-based paperwork documents, got the receipts, check out Clint Richardson's. So, trust the plan if you want. All right, here we go. Part two. Well, Clint Richardson, you are the pariah of the truth community. And I respect that very much, because you do speak a different truth that is conflicting to the Patriot mythos and all the QAnon and the MAGA maniacs. And I suspect that you're also kind of a bit of a thorn in the paw of the libertarians and the anarcho-capitalists, in that you quite publicly state that Ron Paul is a liar. That's a bold statement, and I just respect the balls it takes for someone to actually come out and say that, because that is, again, to use the term, anathema to the larger narrative of what is people assume to be freedom. But of course, it's, as we understand, and I'm learning more talking to you, it's pining. Even if you are thinking that you're free, it's part of that sickness of the real slavery, is someone who thinks that they're free, but also at the same time pining for the slavery and the mental slavery. I don't really know if I have another question about that, but do you have anything more to say about that? Like your thoughts on the fake truthers, the MAGA maniacs, and why, well, it is that you're so outcast?
Well, it's because I figured out that history is a lie. And look, every institution, everything that people believe in, right? Every group, every movement, whatever it is, they all have their own histories. They all have a belief system that is backing up what it is that they are doing. And that's their purpose. That's their reasoning. And so when I started looking at Ron Paul, well, I mean, really, first, is what happened is, look, I mean, I got into the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, which is the audit of government, right? Every government agency, every government, every state, every municipal corporation in the world has what's called a Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, right? It's the only thing that matters, and yet nobody knows it exists. They don't talk about it in government. Half the council members have no idea what's in it. They're just there to say, to vote yes, because that's, you know, they're paid off, essentially. They don't really care about it. They don't use it. They only use what's called the budget report, right? So the budget report is this sort of, you take the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, the full audit of government, and you create a budget report out of it. And that means you take all the investments and all the things that we're not supposed to know about that government has, and you put it to the side and you say, okay, this is what we need this year. So they call it the yearly budget report. And when you compare the CAFR and the budget, they say completely different things. So it would be like me saying to the IRS, well, you know, here's my tax paper, but because, you know, I have this much in investments and I have this much here and I have this much there, but I'm not going to report that to you. I'm only going to give you my budget for the year, right? If we did that, we'd be thrown in jail. If we didn't report all the shit that we do, we'd be thrown in jail. But to the people, to the common people, I use people, and by the way, people, you know, every word has dual meanings. And so when I say the private people or the states, when I use people in terms of us, the cattle, people actually means, like, in its true sense, you people a farm with cows, or you people a farm or a city with humans, right? You people, right. That is a term that actually means to stock.
Yeah. Okay. So livestock.
A farm is peopled with livestock or cows or whatever. So you have to understand the difference between, again, the status of these words. They're all dualistic. They all have different meanings, and, you know, depending on how you're using the term, it changes the meaning of every word. So when you're talking about the Federal Reserve, you don't want to go and listen to some schmuck on the radio who has been deeply ingrained in such works as the creature from Jekyll Island or whatever the current meme is on the Federal Reserve, because all of that is bullshit, I found out. Right?
And you found out the hard way by actually going through all of the financial documents and all the receipts.
Think how I felt just there. I said I was told there's no audit of the Federal Reserve, and
that's
yet
the narrative.
In the law it says the Federal Reserve is going to be audited, and it's called the Comprehensive Annual Fucking Financial Report. So I look up the CAFR.
Find it. How come they can't find it?
Well, it's on the website. It's on the Federal Reserve website. It was even in Ron Paul's bill. It's like he just completely... I actually tried to challenge Ron Paul. I tried to get people to challenge Ron Paul and ask him about the Federal Reserve CAFR and say, why aren't you using this audit? It's the only audit you're ever going to get. It's the official audit. Why aren't you using it? But you see, what he was doing is he was tricking people and using only one office of government. See, only certain people use the CAFR. Everybody else uses the budget report. Congress doesn't... Congress is required to do the CAFR, but it doesn't necessarily use the CAFR. It uses the budget reports. It's a trick. Everything is a trick, right? And then there's the, you know, Ben Bernanke or whoever gets up there and says, well, we're a private or we're an independent or private institution. Well, remember I read you that list of independent agencies of government?
Yeah.
And you're part of one of them? Yeah, so the Federal Reserve is no different than the Post Office or the Social Security Office Administration. It has a board of directors and all that stuff. It is no different. It's just an independent agency of government. But see, Congress passed a law that said, and I find this to be one of the most clever things Congress has ever done, it said that the Federal Reserve chairman, while in a public forum of Congress, in other words, one that we might see, can refuse to answer questions about the Federal Reserve, right?
Right, and Ron, so in that way, Congress essentially mutes the Fed.
They play it. They say, Mr. Bernanke, tell me this. And Bernanke says, oh, I'm sorry, we're a private institution. I'm not beholden to you on that. And we think... Oh, the Federal Reserve's not part of government, despite the fact that it was created by Congress, right?
And then you hear Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, just dribbling out of his mouth everything that we want to hear, which is that we're going to help and we're going to do this. So it's just like, so if the Congress mutes the Fed, what is it that Jerome Powell, chairman, is trying to say to us? Just placating us as slaves?
There's no competition. Is the point. We look at government and we think, oh, it's a competition between Republicans and Democrats. Bullshit. It's a competition. They're all related. They're all in the same family. There's no competition, but you have to have the appearance of competition if you're, you know, that's capitalism.
Right.
So, you know, you think that the Federal Reserve and the government aren't, you know, they're somehow opposed to each other? Again, Congress created the Federal Reserve. To say it's not federal is so disingenuous. I don't even know where to begin on that one, right? It was not created in the middle of the night on a Christmas Eve when Congress wasn't there. I looked at the congressional record, which nobody seems to want to do. And if all the congressmen were there, as the Jekyll Island story goes, complete bullshit, if all the congressmen were actually in session and all those congressmen that were absent would have voted no, it still would have passed. So the whole story is one gigantic patriot mythology. It is the history, the false history, the narrative that drives a very large portion of the so-called Patriot or Truth movement. The Federal Reserve is somehow doing things and Congress has somehow no control over its own creation. Well, the maxim of law disagrees with that, and that's simply that the creator controls. They say the Federal Reserve is not following the law. Well, see, they say the Federal Reserve makes its own law. Well, actually, if you read about that, instead of just saying it and parroting it because you heard from Alex Jones that that's true.
I've done that, man. I'm guilty of that.
Exactly. I was, too, until I started doing my research.
That's why I'm so excited to have you here talking to me, because, man, you have helped me to open up my eyes to how easy it is to just parrot narratives.
Well, you have to be very unafraid of being called a traitor to your own movement or whatever it is that they, you know, they say about me. I don't even know, because I don't pay that much attention. I just know that I'm blackballed and, you know, it's very strange feeling that's very hard to explain, but it's all because I actually do tell the truth.
Well, there's a certain liberty in being unwanted by the unwanted.
It's yeah, exactly. But you know, you read this stuff, and it's very plain that all these independent agencies of governments can make their own rules. Now, I would compare that to, say, you, with your wife and your children. Now, you're considered head of household. You make your own rules in your own house. The way you govern your family, that does not in any way exclude you from the federal law, because you're a federal entity, a federal citizen in this case. Right. This is a federal corporation.
I'm incorporated. I'm a subject.
It is under no circumstances can it say no to Congress unless Congress just happened to pass a law that says it can, which it can get rid of any time, right? It can change the law at any time. There is nothing about the Federal Reserve that is more powerful than or and that's an important point, because the maximum of law also says that the creating power cannot make something more powerful than itself. This is why the illusion of allodial title or holding land despite the United States or the states united, right? You're never going to be higher than the state if you're a citizen of the state or a citizen. You always have to respect that there's this higher sort of authority when you're a private person of the state. You don't hold the land, the state does, but you have the perfect title. You don't have any liens or anything like that. The state or the sovereign can never create a power more powerful than itself. Therefore, by that maxim alone, the myth of the Federal Reserve is ridiculous. Anything the government creates is going to be under it. It has to be by definition and by the very maxims of law. So the whole story behind the Fed is ridiculous. And the Federal Reserve, well, the funniest part to me is that the Federal Reserve had to create a question and answer, what they call a FAQ, you know, FAQ. Section on its website, because it had so many people trying to, you know, either sending it dirty emails or accusing it of this. And you know, so it puts the question, is the Federal Reserve private? No. Is it this? No. Do banks have stock? Well, that's a tricky question. And then it points to the law. And you read the law and it says, yeah, they have membership stock, not ownership stock. They're required to buy in the stock for like $1 million or something in order to be in the Federal Reserve and be protected by its laws and to have the power to create funny money, right? So it's not like the banks, everybody says, oh, the banks own the Federal Reserve. No, you can't be a bank unless you're a member of the Fed, right? So they're voluntarily joining the Fed and getting all of the power that the Fed offers through membership. The whole thing is a big, gigantic freaking lie. And they put this question and answer thing on the Fed. You can read it yourself, and then you can go to the law and you can read the law that created the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve Act, which completely discounts everything they say about the Federal Reserve. And then there's the quotes, right? The fake quotes that every documentary filmmaker, from James Corbett to all these guys, they parrot the quote. They don't verify the quote, and they use the quote over and over. One of them is from President, the guy who created the Fed, that signed, I can't think of his name, Wilson? No. Who was it?
It's not Eisenhower, it's FDR, right?
No, I want to say Wilson, but I will just... The guy that penned, that was president, that penned it into existence... Right, the bill was passed and signed by the president. That president, I want to say Wilson, no, it's escaping me because I haven't looked at this for a while. But he wrote a book. It was a book of his speeches that came out years earlier. And it was the speeches he was giving to become president, because he was running on the fact that he was going to create the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was a very needed entity, believe it or not, because the banking industry was just it was out of control, and there needed to be some, you know, they ended up creating a central bank, which is the, you know, a plank of the Communist Manifesto, instead of just a regulatory agency. They, you know, because the banks were completely out of control, creating all this funny money out of thin air, and so there was a need for a centralized banking thing, but they went, you know, too far and created the central bank. So, essentially, all these speeches were put into a book, which came out in, I don't know, a couple years before he signed the Federal Reserve Act. And then there's this fake quote that goes around that says, I am a most miserable man. I did this, you know, I created this Federal Reserve thing, and I feel horrible about it. A complete bullshit quote. The quote, most of the quote is taken from his speeches, and the part about being a most miserable man doesn't even exist anywhere. No historical record of that ever being said, and yet they use that quote, a carefully constructed quote, to make it appear that the guy who created the Federal Reserve regretted it, when actually he ran for president on it, right? The whole thing is just, it's just one big, gigantic, fallacious lie. And it's all because of people like G. Edward Griffin and that ilk, who take up a subject, study it a little, and then write a book on it. And once the book is written, they refuse to. I have presented this to all of these guys. Everyone who parrots the same stuff from James Corbett to him, they will not change their work. Right? I took James Corbett's documentary, and I pointed in the CAFR to all the places where he said that information was being hidden. It's in the audit. And he didn't change it. He didn't do anything about it.
Why do you suppose that is?
Because the
answer is obvious, but I want you to say it.
Because of me. This, I am what happens to people who rebuke the official story of the alternative story.
because you end up basically broke and alone and destitute.
I am the guy. Right. I am the reason people will not change and go against the official narrative of the alternative so-called truth movement. The movement that never moves because it's full of lies and gives you no power to do anything. I mean, if they were to do that, they'd be shelved. No one would interview them anymore, like me. Shelved. I mean, I don't know how to put it any other way, except you're going to be pretty much blackballed if you go against and say, well, wait a minute, this truth that you're espousing is a lie, and provably so. Here's the primary sources. Here's how it cannot possibly be true. Here's the quote. The fake quote you're using is obviously fake. Why are you still using it? And yet, to this day, you know? I mean, I wrote extensively on this, by the way. It's on my blog. I can send you the articles. I still am in disbelief that I got caught up in, you know, of course, Alex Jones was my first real tangle in all this, but I can't believe I got caught up in the mythology myself until the point where I looked and I said, is this actually true? And yeah, boy, it's not hard to
imagine. I mean, it is so romantic because it pushes all the buttons and it's got all the good feelies of freedom. It's got all the good carrots to follow out of the matrix into the light and all this kind of stuff. It's not hard to fall for it. It is romantic is what it is.
Yeah.
So do you think then that with this, do you think that there's any sort of pendulum effect as far as this kind of information and this kind of truth to subvert the truth movement for what it really is? Do you think that there's ever a point that the pendulum would swing back, and that someone like Corbett and the G. Edward Griffins that are out there, if they were to embrace a real truth behind their own work and reverse themselves, Do you think that there could be a critical mass where the pendulum would swing back and it wouldn't be such a suicide kamikaze mission?
I think that someone like Griffin, Corbett is more of a documentarian, whereas Griffin is more of a history maker, right? I mean, his book is celebrated as being the ultimate truth of the Federal Reserve, even though you can go to the Congressional Record and see that it's completely false, and that the way he says it is not even the way government works, right? So I think that if someone like him were to come out and say, look, I was sucked into this and I need to retract my work because it's just not true. And he really, you know, maybe did a heartfelt, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to participate in the lie anymore, that maybe, you know, people would, someone like him would actually be the one to, because it's his work that's the blame, in my opinion. Someone like him would be the guy to do it because, like I said, it means that he has to retract his book. And I think that's what it boils down to is when you put something, this is why I was so hesitant to ever write a book, is because I was so wrong about things because of this so-called truth movement that I had to find all the answers despite what I believed to be the truth. I had to go and search for all those answers. And so, I mean, the other aspect of this, I knew his assistant.
Okay.
When I was in We Are Change in Los Angeles, you know, I knew his assistant. She once told me that he's not an expert on these subjects at all. He just chooses a subject and writes about it, right? And this is the book that really propelled him into the light. So, you know, it's okay to be wrong. You know, it's okay to admit that you fell for a gigantic hoax. And it's a hoax, I think, that most people who participate in it don't know they're participating in it. Because when you have a false narrative that powerful, just like the false narrative of the founding fathers, right, these slave owners, I think it's okay, you know, to say, okay, I'm wrong. I'm falling for the trick that is a historical invention and realize that you cannot actually base anything on history. History is always going to be a lie. And as we discussed, even when you tell your own history, you're omitting some very important facts, right? Yeah. On your resume. So, you know, you can't, I think the key is to stop using any kind of history, any kind of author, including myself, stop using it as an excuse to continue lying to both yourself and to other people just because you're vested in it. And that's what it boils down to. These guys are vested in it because if they had to retract their book, they'd have to republish. They'd have to, you know, imagine how hard that would be to say, look, I created a narrative that wasn't true.
Right. I think that's the same. It's the same kind of obstacle that I think people face when they are hesitant to look at the bigger objective story. And I guess, and to the worst term is to, you know, to be red pilled, is that it's the hesitancy before accepting that there is a larger story is that it would then upset your worldview to such a point where you would have to do a lot of work and take responsibility for your own education and edification of a larger objective reality. And I think that is terrifying.
Self-responsibility, self-government. That's what we're talking about.
It's terrifying to people. And I think even to the people like G. Edward Griffin, you know, it's a career changer, career killer, but that's
well,
just
it doesn't
one
have
way.
To be.
No, exactly. It really it's just one way to look at it. That's, I mean, there would be a death of something for sure, but out of that death has to be another Look, reborn another new life, you know?
Here's the ultimate truth, okay? The ultimate truth that once you understand it, nothing can ever break it. Okay, nothing can get in its way, and it's really simple. And it's straight out of the Bible. Now, a lot of people say that they quote out of the Bible, they don't even know they're quoting out of the Bible, right? And then at the same time, they poo-poo the Bible, and they, you know, hate it, and all that. I understand that. I used to be there. Before I read the Bible, and before I looked at the language and understood what it was actually saying, I thought religion and the Bible were the same thing. They're not. Religion is completely 100% opposed to the Bible. And I know that's a really strange statement, but once you understand the fact that most churches are corporations, in other words, persons,
yeah,
tells you right there they're not obeying the Bible, because the Bible is completely 100% against any kind of personhood, status, artificialness, legalese. I lost my train of thought. What was the question?
Larger truth, the mega truth.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So we always say, for instance, you know, right out of the Bible, the truth will set you free. Right?
Yeah, those are the words.
How many times do you hear people, hey, the truth sets you free? And that is a really true statement because, you know, again, I don't have to go back to my work and say, you know, I've certainly gone back to some of my earlier articles and put a note in that says that I was fooled. This is actually not true. I'm keeping it up for posterity's sake, but please understand this is actually, I've come to understand this is not the truth. But it's a great exercise in learning how easy it is to be fooled, right? I've done that on some of my older blog articles. But see, I don't have to go back to my work and say, well, that, you know, I lied, or I did this for money, or I did, right? Because that's just never been my thing. I don't have to go back and tell people this is the truth and what I wrote here is not, you know, is not true. There might be some cases where I would gladly retract anything that's not true in my blog or in my book or whatever. I have no problem doing that because my goal is actually the truth at all costs. Because I know that this statement, the truth will set you free, is true because I try to live it, right? So what is truth becomes the question. Well, it's great to say the truth will set you free, but is there truth in man-made things? Is there truth in money, for instance? Well, no. Money isn't real, right? The value of money is decided by the banks in what's called the London gold fixing, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you got the banks deciding what the value of gold and money is, right? So, no, there is no truth behind mammon or the valuation of artificial things. So we can't confuse what the Bible is saying. What is truth? Well, it tells you what truth is. Jehovah. Another passage from the Bible. Jehovah is truth. It says God is truth, of course, because God, a Catholic Pope forbid you should actually know the real God, because he likes to pretend he's God. Jehovah will set you free. The truth will set you free. Jehovah is truth. Wow. So in other words, that which is self-evident and self-existent, that which is not man-made, will set you free. So let's break that down. How will you ever actually truly find what you might call natural freedom or freedom under God? Well, you have to give up everything man-made. All man-made concepts, all man-made structures and theories, and all, you just have to give it up. All the histories, you have to live in the now under the law, which is self-evident. I don't have to tell you what it is, although because we've been so brainwashed by the legal system, we don't even, you know, it's hard to even recognize. Once you hear that forgiveness is part of the law, because if you think about it, what if you changed everything right now and forgiveness was one of your highest laws? You forgive everybody that's ever wronged you. If someone injures you, you forgive them because it was an accident, right? And as long as someone is is trying to make amends for what they do to you on accident or on purpose, great, you can forgive them, right? Well, that would mean there's no courts. There's no lawyers. There's no attorneys. There's nothing. The court system,
right.
That whole branch of government depends on you not following the self-evident law of nature, law of God, which is forgiveness and charity.
Yeah, that whole that's tens or really hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, of jobs that are
jobs, pointless those, jobs. Yeah. See, the legal system depends solely on one thing and one thing only, and that is that you and everybody under it is constantly harming the next person.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the law of nature. Do no harm. Right? You must always be invoking injury. The problem is we don't know what injury means.
Right? Again, yeah, the language is so important and so interesting to think about, man. This is great.
Well, I mean, you can figure it out if you know the Latin. You know that jure means law. So what is it to injure?
That right, means it's, yeah.
Bring somebody into the law. In other words, I invoke my person, which is suing your person, or doing whatever, it's commerce, whatever. So I'm constantly bringing you into the legal system by, well, maybe I'm signing a contract, maybe I'm giving you money, and you owe me this, and maybe I'm buying. Everything we do is, of course, you know, your actions are protected or insured under law. So it requires you to act under the legal system, which means that everything you do, I'm not interacting with a man, I'm interacting with a person. And therefore, I'm bringing into law the transaction. I'm causing injury. But we don't know what that word means. So everything I do causes you an injury if I'm invoking the persona, the law, the insurance, the ability to contract, right? All that stuff that comes mm-hmm. with being a citizen of the United States. See, this is the problem. This is the inversion and the misunderstanding of these terms is what everything is based on. And that's why I say if we simply stopped respecting names and titles like the Bible instructs and giving them any type of authority, that would solve 90% of the problems.
Interesting. Damn. So
imagine saying the orange man is not my president.
Well, yeah, that's also one of the mantras. That's one of the chants is not but my imagine, president.
Imagine being able to say that because you are not under that United States. He's president right. of the United States, not the world, not men. He's president of persons.
Yeah. And once you have unpersoned yourself, if you ever could unperson yourself from that corporation, unincorporate yourself, then truly he would not be your president, and consequently you would be freed of that liability, because ultimately you're liable for that president.
Well, and I think to do that, I think you have to be honorable. You have to be, even though this is all a fraud, the whole system is built on fraud, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
You still have to act honorably. You have to, in other words, have what they call in law, they call it clean hands. All right? In other words, you can't have taken advantage of the system or got a bunch of stuff and you can't go and say, okay, well, I have $1 million or $100,000 debt and I'm just going to give up my citizenship. No, I think you have to pay off any debts that you've acquired. I think you have to act honorably, even though it's, you know, it's honor among thieves, in other words. I don't think you can just go and say, okay, well, I just bought a big house and everything. I'm just going to go and give up. I think you have to enter the way, or you have to leave the way you entered, which is with nothing. With absolutely nothing. No debts, no obligations, no nothing. No contracts, nothing. And I think that at that point, I think you can cause an execution of the person, the contract. But this is the one thing I'll say is absolute speculation on my part. It's the conclusion I've come to based on certain things, including the dead people we just read about that are alive.
Yeah.
Right.
Those are great examples, man. Those are a great resource. Thank you for that.
So I believe and I hate saying that because it means I don't know, but I believe we looked at the death certificate, the death statistics in Canada, for instance, right? Let's see if I got this right because it was a while ago, but I used to talk to Daniel up there in Canada, and he looked at the statistics up there and execution. There were executions in Canada, which apparently they don't have the death penalty, right? And so we're curious, well, what does it mean? What does that mean? How did someone die of execution if there's no execution in Canada? I'm not sure if that's correct or not. It's been a long time. But, you know, so we looked and we found that execution meant end of contract. And so people were dying of execution, but it wasn't the man that was dying. It was this Canadian whatever citizen. And I just have this feeling that is a step anyway. But I think the biggest step is a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of, you know, it's the action. And I think the truth movement, and I think all of this stuff is designed to make us not act, to make us think that this is all legitimate. And it's all, these are all the problems, and yeah, we can talk about all these evil, in you know, evil actors and all this stuff, but ultimately, there's no
way. Wait. Are you saying that we shouldn't trust the plan, Clint?
which plan is that?
Trust the plan.
What's the plan?
QAnon, man. Come on, we have to just wait and do nothing.
You know,
let the experts take control. We have to trust the plan.
I'm just joking, of course. No, really, I'm not that familiar with QAnon because, long ago I looked into it and found it to be a fraud.
It's not hard to see. It's amazing to me and quite entertaining how many people are trusting the plan and really sitting back and doing nothing while, frankly, in my opinion, and I can't prove it because it is so slippery, while communism just takes over first in major cities and then eventually rural America. It's all part of the plan. We have to just sit back and trust the plan. While, you know, Operation Warp Speed and the vaccine is also part of the plan. So it's just amazing to me. But yeah, that's the whole idea with the MAGA maniacs and the patriots is to just trust the plan, do nothing, and wait for the experts.
I think my favorite part. And you know what's amazing is, I'm sure the people, if anybody hears this and they believe in this stuff, they'd be like, oh, I'm not going to trust him anymore. But, I mean, there are people that say, you know, oh, you go through the truth movement, you go through all these different levels of the Matrix, and finally you come to the top, and at the top is aliens. That's when you know you're really awake, right? So you got these people, and they're waiting for the Galactic Federation to come and save, you know, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever, you know, heard in, and I've heard a lot of bizarre stuff, but there's people that constantly are having updates, and people are mediums for the aliens or the Galactic Federation, and there's, you know, it's amazing to know that people can talk completely rationally about things and then suddenly go into slip into that. And, you know, I don't know what to say except a really, you know, Star Trek came from the Rand Corporation. So the Galactic Federation is probably something similar.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there's this spooky, slippery stuff too. With H.G. Wells and NASA and everything. It's all very, very convoluted and really entertaining. Once you step outside of it and just watch it for what it is, which is just entertainment and distraction.
But
people really do make their whole lives around writing books about this.
For me, I think, you know, I'm so sincere and empathetic and I don't know, whatever you want to call me. I'm really in this to win this. You know, I feel like sometimes I'm the only one out here half the time that's actually going like, no, stop, please, you can't say this stuff to people. It's stopping them from acting. It's stopping them from actually doing anything. You're exposing all of these evil people, and yet nothing is happening. You're not doing anything. Even when someone's exposed on the mainstream news, nothing happens.
Yeah, we know that.
Nothing has ever been accomplished by anything that these people have exposed, Alex Jones or all these guys. Nothing, not one damn thing can be said, oh, we accomplished that. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the things you said to Ricky on his show that really, really got my attention. Was like, oh, God, he's fucking right. That's what I've been thinking for a long time and saying quietly, but no one wants to hear that because they want to talk about trusting the plan and just moving forward and unifying. And we got to get together. Spread the word about the laptop, or spread the word about the vaccines. And it's just like, God, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about spreading the word. It just, it makes you feel good.
Well, there is a sense of truth in that, is that you have to get it out to people. But when that's your mantra for 7 decades,
yeah.
I mean, people have been in this for a long time, since the 60s, 70s. I mean, when that's the thing that you're saying over and over and over, and then there is no action, there's nothing actually happening. You know, I compare it to anything else. Christianity. How about Christianity? Right? Nothing's happening in Christianity because they're all calling themselves Christians, but not following the law of God, not following Christ in any possible way.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same thing. You're a citizen of the United States. You love this history of how the founding fathers went against all odds and formed, and yet you're just suffering right now we're in a situation where if you compare the Declaration of Independence and you to compare that to the conditions then to today, it's 10 times worse than what was in the Declaration of Independence. Instead of the king, though, it's the United States. The United States has become the king, and all the grievances are against the United States instead of the king. Nothing has changed, you see.
Yeah.
It's much worse. If I were to rewrite the Declaration of Independence, which I just happened to do, I compared what they were grievancing and complaining about to what is coming out of the United States and the control it has over all the states, you know, like just like England was controlling this continent, the United States way over there in Washington DC, a foreign entity is controlling us. And it's so much worse than it ever was. It's so much worse now with technology and all this stuff than it could have possibly been back then. And yet, all these people still quote the Declaration of Independence. They'll even quote the quote about starting, you know, if the government fails you, you have the right to start a new one.
Yeah, that's
right.
A good
well,
one.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it. Nobody is acting. It is exposure without consequence.
Yeah, well, it seems to be that people are waiting for it to really be an inescapable thing where they're literally Gestapo walking up to their house and kicking down their door. Until that happens, they're going to trust the plan and wait.
What?
And meanwhile, it's just by doing nothing, and this is my argument, is by doing nothing at all, you're consenting. And worse than that, every time you enter onto a Zoom meeting or you order your groceries online or you answer an email from your kid's school about the distance learning, I would say that even this Skype conversation is part of it, but not necessarily because I don't have the means, nor do you, to drive to meet in the middle and speak in person. It's just not feasible right now. And that could be, you know, that's relevant or relative. But I guess what I'm saying is by doing these things, by engaging in now in the technology that allows these type of systems of control to be ever more and exponentially increasing, we're signaling that not only is this acceptable, but it's optimal, and this is actually what we want. And so there's the opposite of resistance.
Well, you know, I've got so many quotes from so many men of the past who were self-governing and free, including some of those founding fathers, who say that most men will not strive to be free. They will enjoy being slaves. They will gravitate towards being absolutely controlled rather than be free, because being free means you must be self-responsible. You must never depend on anybody else for anything, although that is a big part of it, is being dependable and also being charitable, you know, and giving up that type of thought. But, you know, that basically most men, no matter how good they are, will not choose freedom. And I go back to that because it is a choice. I tell you that it's a choice. It is a choice. It is not something that a piece of paper is going to tell you you are or you are not. You don't get a license. You don't get permission, right? You actually yeah. act under the highest authority of the universe, which is, again, the universe, Jehovah. That's the definition. So the truth will set you free. That's all I can say. And it's a choice. Voting is one thing I was going to get to, because, again, voting is always a choice. When you look up the term voter and you look up the term elector, right? Because the electors actually choose the president, the voters do not. The whole public,
yeah.
The whole we're election
experiencing process. That now. As well, far as it, I understand. I
mean, think about the billions of dollars they put into these elections every 4 years. And you know, I quote Baudrillard, who says that elections are nothing more and nothing less than a false sense of execution. In other words, when people didn't like the king, they would execute the king. And in this way, you're taking away the title of the king and passing it on to another man. It's like a mock execution, and it actually makes people feel better.
Yeah.
That there's a change in kings, and so they don't act against the king. If you kept the same, and this is why you'll never see any president go more than 4 or 8 years, because they know that if we had a constant, you know, tyrant called president, a king basically called president, that eventually we'd figure out, hey, this is something wrong here. You know, but by giving us this illusion of choice where we elect one of two family members, right? It doesn't matter who's running against everybody that ever ran against anybody for president in the past has been their cousin. I don't know what to tell you there.
That's true.
Right. So if you look at that and you understand, okay, this is all for show. Well, then really the vote for president is they're giving us, first of all, an artificial choice, because it's a causality. No matter who you vote for, you're not saying no. Remember what freedom is. Right. My freedom, yeah. Freedom in a presidential election. If I thought there was any legitimacy in the president, there would be a section by the yes or the no, or by the check mark, there'd be another competitor which said none of the above. Because I don't want Trump, and I certainly don't want Hillary, so I'm going to check none of the above. Let's have a new race. Let's have actual good people run for the office. Until then, I'm going to check none of the above. I don't want a president who's a gangster in the business of casinos, for God's sake. You know, I don't want this monster Clinton either. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say none of the above, but you see, you don't have the choice to say no. And here's the thing about voting for president is, first of all, your vote's not counted. Your vote is actually a consent to have the electors choose who the president is, and they are not required in any way.
Bingo.
Right. So the electors actually choose the president. The whole debate, and that's actually a good thing, because the electors are supposed to be statesmen. They're supposed to be people who are looking out for the best interests of all people. They are not. It's not Congress, right? Congress actually, unfortunately, the election, the elector process is done by the fucking political parties.
Yeah.
Which, you know, yeah. People say I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. You have no idea what that means. You have no idea what being a Democrat or a Republican actually means. You have no idea, probably, that these are special interest groups. They are corporations. They have no idea of your interest in any way. They're set up to be two pillars of the same, you know, foundation. If one falls, the other one's there to pick it up, because you're going to, well, we don't want the Democrats. Let's go for the Republicans, because there's no other choice. And there's certainly not a choice to say no. So what is the vote? Here's the problem. You don't think of this until someone points it out to you. Every time you vote for president, you're not choosing between two candidates. You're voting yes for whichever candidate the electors choose. So no matter how you vote, you're voting yes. That is your vote. You cannot vote no. You have to choose between two evils. And they've tricked you into thinking you have a choice, which you don't. And so you go and you vote, which is an act of consent that says the whole system is legitimate and the electors are going to, the Electoral College will elect the president. That is the multi-billion dollar presidential election. It is a giant lie. It is a trick to get you to go to the polls. Oh, now they'll let you do it in the mail. Isn't that nice?
That's great, yeah.
To vote yes. And that's all you're doing. You're voting yes. I want a king. I cannot govern myself. I'm voting yes to the presidential thing, right? That's all it is. Oh, you don't have a choice. Your choice is presented to you as one of two evils, two members of the same family that have ruled you and your generations for eons. That's what it is.
What about the largest voting bloc that does not vote?
Well, if you don't vote, that's the other aspect. Guess what? You're voting yes, because you're agreeing that those who do vote are going to decide for you. So you could say that your vote isn't counted. Well, actually, it's counted as a yes. You're consenting whether you vote or not.
Oh, that's great. That's great, because I don't vote. And I know that that's just as useless as voting.
Well, it's impossible to argue with someone who then gets on your case about, what do you mean you don't vote? It's part of the American process.
I love it.
How can you be an American?
I prefer the George Carlin response, which is like, you voted that asshole in. It's your problem. I did not partake in that ritual of falsehood.
That's actually not even a true statement, because remember, you're allowing them to do it for you.
I know.
But if you do vote, right, you're not going to convince enough people that, hey, why don't you elect this guy Clint over here for president? He's got no interest in anything but you. That's never going to happen, because people, well, I can't do that. I'm Republican.
And I can't vote for him because I want to have a vote for all people. I'm an inclusionist.
I have an artificial identity complex where I identify with red. My color is red, and they're... Therefore, I'm going to vote all red. I could just draw a line down the entire ballot and just vote red. And I think that I know what that means, even though I have no fucking clue.
Oh, man. All right, dude. Well, we do got to wrap here in a minute, but I want to give you a little bit of time. This has been so cool, man. I can't believe we're 3 hours into this. I want to hear you talk about your newest documentary. If you haven't already, I mean, perhaps you have been for the last 3 hours, but yeah, you have a new one. The one I know of is Corporation Nation. I think you have another documentary, but I understand you just finished one.
Well, it's funny because it's rendering right now. Right when I was about to release it and print it, my whole computer system crashed and I had to re-download the operating system and.
Well, that's just because all those globalists want to stop you in your tracks. You can blame the globalists for that.
It's built in. It's a virus.
Glow in the dark, rhesus monkeys.
I will. You know, it's a 2013 computer, so I will just chalk it up to tiredness. It's been a really great computer otherwise, but I do remember. You know, and I make it a rule not to. Download any PDFs, but I did look at a PDF, and I keep thinking, man, wonder if I did this to myself, because I know viruses hide in PDFs, but I try not to open anything, but So, yeah, I did a documentary. I was working on Lethal Injection 2. My first documentary was Lethal Injection. After I did The Corporation Nation, it's a vaccine documentary. Did that in 2011. And I had spent, you know, years and years trying to understand why I had cancer when I was a kid, why my brother's child had the same cancer and died at age 9. You know, I wanted to know what the hell, what is cancer and why is it happening to so many people? Why are all these diseases happening? And of course that led me to vaccines. And once you see it, it's pretty hard to deny what they put in all their studies and everything. They know they're killing people and harming people and they just don't care. So I made that documentary and it's the story of Lethal Injection, the story of vaccination. And now, after all these years of continuous study, I'm doing what I call a master class. It's going to be about a 40 or 50 hour documentary, and it is the entire thing, everything that's involved from the university system to the history of eugenics. This particular one I'm about to release is about 8.5 hours long. And it'll cover a lot of stuff. One of the things this one really covers, though, is drugs and how amazingly, well, I'll put it to you this way. I'm told, and you're told, and everybody's told that in the 1930s and 40s, that was the greatest generation, right? They were wonderful people. They were Leave It to Beavers. They were, you know, and they fought in this great war, and they were so brave and all this stuff. Well, you know what I found out? I found out that militaries have been drugging their populations, their soldiers, that crystal meth was actually behind most of the bravery that was experienced by the German soldiers. The crystal meth was a requirement, as was a lot of other drugs like cocaine and heroin and all kinds of things. And they've continuously looked for new drugs to give to soldiers. Right now it's like it's a new form of methamphetamine, which is Adderall, and modafinil, which is also, it keeps you up for about 90 hours, basically. And they give this stuff to pilots, and every once in a while a pilot goes crazy and bombs his own people and stuff like that. So basically what I found out is that the entire population from today and yesterday all the way back through the late 1800s have been on some prescribed drug. Coca-Cola, of course, used to have cocaine in it. It's not so much that the generations are different from one another, it's that they're on different drugs. Right? You had the happy housewives taking amphetamines to lose weight and keep happy. And that's what all the commercials said back then. You have this incredible story of all countries that have been the victims, every generation is a victim of whatever the current drug that's accepted and prescribed by doctors. And that includes methamphetamine, cocaine, and all those different, heroin. It's really, real. The true history of things is so different than what we're talking. So I look and I'm told, hey, you got the greatest generation, and they protect. No, they were on frickin' drugs. That's why they were brave. That's why Vietnam was such a horrible war. That's why there's no honor in war. It's because you know, look at the side effects to amphetamines and methamphetamines. Look at the side effects to long-term use or short-term use, right? It's you get feelings of persecution. You want to kill. You want to. It's horrible. So I documented all this in this first the first part of this, and it also documents the doctors, our medical system, I should say, but specifically doctors and nurses are the number one cause of death and devastation in the United States, but they're listed as the number three cause of death, anywhere from 250,000 to 460,000 people dying, which would be like a 747 going down every day. Right?
At the hands of doctors.
Right, right. And especially prescription drugs and all that stuff. So I actually, you know, the top two are what, heart attack and cancer, I think. That's which, of course, which we find, oh, look at there. Drugs are causing strokes and heart attack. Drugs are causing COPD or vaccines. Vaccines are and drugs are causing all these problems. Every illness known to man is listed as a side effect of some drug or vaccine. Right? So, you know, you start looking at this and you realize that the medical industry as a corporate structure is so far removed from what we think it is. We have so much trust in doctors, and yet doctors know nothing about vaccines, what's in them. It's amazing, right?
Yeah,
so
that much that's, is true. I've been learning a lot more about that, how the practitioners and the executives, or the executives, the executors, again, of these vaccines don't know what's in them. All they know is the schedule. All they know is the schedule.
They get their recommendations from a bunch of special interests, right? Vaccine executives, and you know, the FDA doesn't even do tests. It relies on the pharmaceutical company to test their own stuff, and of course, they hide all the bad stuff and give only the good stuff. The whole thing is so corrupt and so bad that I found out doctors don't even actually take an oath. Everybody thinks the doctors take a Hippocratic Oath. You know what they do instead? They get malpractice insurance, which says, hey, if I harm you or kill you, that's all right. I have insurance.
I'm covered. You're dead. You're maimed. You're disfigured. You're fucking fucked for life, but I'm covered. It's cool. I can continue to operate.
And that, you think about that, you're accepting money. And when you accept that, when you accept that money, you're actually, it's an act of legal forgiveness.
Yeah.
So you're maimed for life, but hey, maybe you're rich from it. Great! Meanwhile, they continue to kill and harm people.
Yeah.
As if it doesn't matter because they have insurance. Right? And this is all the corporate structure that's built around it. So this is an entire history and deep dive look into vaccines, medications, you know, the university system, eugenics, and on and on and on. Anything that revolves around it. And ultimately, like I said, it's this long series. I consider it like a master class. In other words, if you want to really learn something, you go to college and you take a course that's anywhere from 20 to 40 hours. Well, if you really want to learn what's wrong, you know, I'm sorry that you can't watch more than a 10-minute YouTube video. You're probably not going to be able to learn that way. But if you really want to know, you know, I feel like I'm documenting this in a real way that's never been done before, taking all the different people that have been fighting this and trying to expose this for what it is and putting them all together in one piece, you know? And then at the same time promoting what they call alternative medicine, which is actually just natural healing.
Right. And for those who don't have any idea who you are or what your background is, you actually come from a pretty solid, stable career in and I would say even, I mean, is Hollywood too far of a word to say, but you were a sound engineer, video production. I mean, you've come from audio visual production, high end execution.
I worked for Sound Deluxe, a company that no longer got gobbled up by Discovery Channel, but it was that and Todd AO, which were the two largest companies right on Hollywood Boulevard, actually, right down from where they hold the Oscars and the Grauman's Chinese Theater and all that stuff. So yeah, I was right there in the heart of it all. I was designing sound and did video games, commercials, movies, that kind of thing. And you know, yeah,
you had a radio show for a while, I understand.
Not till after. I mean, I joined Weird Change and I started looking into stuff, and eventually I just said, there's this whole world out there that I don't know, and I feel like I need to know it. I can't just sit. And I went around and I noticed, you know, my last big project that I was supervising, and I was about to, you know, get six figures and become the big supervisor into. And this was my first delve into being like the lead designer, was a game called Resident Evil 5. And I'd worked on Resident Evil 4 and little, you know, every once in a while they do something with the movies and stuff, but the shit I'm working on, I mean, I'm making demons come to life. I'm making, you know, putting sounds and screeches and roars and all that stuff. And I came to realize I did a interview on this subject. I really should send you that, to put up along. It's about where we get those sounds. So if you think about it, you're hearing like a dragon or a monster roar or screech. Well, you got to realize those sounds come from tortured animals. Like if we wanted to get a real screech for like an alien sound, we'd look up pigs being castrated.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I would love to have access to that audio. I would love to, if you have something you want to send me.
This guy that did it, he put video of just the worst video games you could possibly imagine. Some of the scenery is just so disturbing as I'm talking. It was really powerful. But my point was, look, if I need a real good dragon roar, I'm going to go to a gorilla or a lion or something. But, you know, it's not like they went out in the wilds of Africa and recorded a lion. No, that lion's in captivity, and they're poking and prodding it to make it roar. Right? It's like wow. These are happy. Every time you're listening to all these different sounds, you're listening to suffering. Yeah. And you don't really realize it. You know, you don't really think about these kind of things. This is the problem, is we don't think about what's behind everything we enjoy. When you're ordering your food online, where's that food actually coming from?
Yeah, I know.
Oof. So, yeah, I'll send you that. But, you know, the whole series, and then the movie I released recently that's been out there for a while is called Wagging the Dog, the story behind the story of COVID-19. And that is, again, it's a 9.5-hour documentary, but if you really want to know what COVID-19 is, I found the panel discussions where the scientists that created it tell you that they created it, and where Anthony Fauci tells you his role in that and how he funds it and everything. I mean, it's amazing, really, when you hear it out of the mouths of the scientists who actually created it in a lab, you no longer have to speculate, you know. Yeah. And these are public forums that don't reach the public, you know.
Yeah. So clearly, dude, Clint, you are no slouch. You have a history of intensive, intrepid research and action that I think is so admirable, man. So fucking cool. I'm super grateful for this conversation. We got to wrap, though.
Yep.
I got to go get the kiddo from the daycare.
You're like, respect you, but wouldn't want to be you.
No, man. I totally admire you, actually. I completely admire you. I would love someday to actually have a cup of coffee or a beer with you or something, man. That'd be so cool. I do sometimes get down to Utah. I'm a big fan of the Moab area.
Oh, yeah.
I had some life-changing experiences in Moab, and I suspect that you're probably responsible for those shiny objects that were placed in the desert. I think it was all you.
Wow, another hoax that people...
Yeah, isn't that a good one? Now it's all over the place.
When those first came out, it was just a local story, and they're like, you know, almost laughing at it like it's supposed to be something, and then it became a national... like mystery, you know, and we're just like, what are you talking about? Someone put that there just the other day.
They put it over there, and then they put it over there. What does it all mean? You know, and then you got all the YouTubers and the MAGA maniacs doing videos about it and talking about it. It's obviously just nuts.
Obviously, it's the Galactic Federation trying to escape us.
Yeah. So all of your work is open source. I know that. And I know that you have a website at strawman.info. Is that correct?
Strawmanstory.info.
Strawmanstory.
Download my book from there. And then my blog is realityblogger.wordpress.com. I'll send you these. And my YouTube channel where these documentaries exist is Red Pill Sunday School.
Red Pill Sunday School, blogger.info, that's with 1G, and strawmanstory.info for all things Clint Richardson, man. Super amazing. Would you ever want to come back and talk to me again? Because I feel like, I mean, even though we've been going for over 3 hours, I still have so many more questions, and I just like hearing you talk about stuff, so I would love to.
Sure.
to continue more. And I mean, maybe, after I make this move in a couple weeks and the dust settles, I'd like to get back in touch with you and kind of check your temperature and check your observation of how this Operation Warp Speed is unrolling.
And, I will give warning to people that, in my research on that, I think the virus itself, which was designed to be very virulent, very contagious, but not necessarily deadly.
Yeah.
I think this whole thing is a sterilization campaign. I think the virus, it goes to a certain receptor, and that receptor is very present in the gonad. And certain viruses cause sterilization. AIDS, for instance, or HIV causes sterilization. And they used HIV orthologs in the creation of COVID-19, which is actually SARS-2. And I believe the vaccine, or what they're calling a vaccine, I don't even think it should be called that, because it's not a vaccine. It's a virus itself. It's delivering viral stuff. I believe that's geared towards the female. I did a roundtable with Dr. Mikovits not too long ago, and we talked about the fact that it will attack the ability of placenta to grow. They can't have a child without the placenta.
Wow. Do you have a link to that roundtable discussion? I would love to push that further
and spread
the word.
I will send it, but I don't think it's posted yet. It was about a week ago we did it. So.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, if you get the green light and the freedom to share it, man, I would be happy to push that around my little sphere and spread the word, as it were. Because I think that would be a very vital piece of information for those that are listening. I know I certainly am.
Well, we explain how that all works, how autoimmune disease works. And basically, when you're talking about a sterilization campaign, you're talking about our sterilization vaccines, which are really well known already. You know, you're basically causing your body to attack the reproductive system. So, you know, that's and it's very easy to do, it turns out, and we explain all that in that. So I'll send you that too.
Cool. I'd be honored to have that. Awesome.
All right, man. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. So this has been so cool. Yeah, so strawmanstory.info, blogger.
I'll just type them out for you, man.
Well, I want you to say them for the listeners, because people are lazy and they might remember, and they probably won't go into the show notes. Who knows? But yeah, if you could just give a quick little shout out to yourself and plug away real quick, and then we'll wrap it up.
Realityblogger.wordpress.com.
Got that. Okay, cool.
That's about 10 years worth of stuff on there. Red Pill Sunday School on YouTube has my first and second season of that, which is my little sort of, I guess, whatever you call it now, podcast or whatever. And also has my documentary, my new documentary films on it. All my old documentary stuff, which is the Corporation Nation, that YouTube channel is still up, and it's called the Corporation Nation. So that's another YouTube channel with all my old documentaries. What else? Strawmanstory.info is my book. And I think that's probably about it.
Awesome. And I think it's worth noting that all of your YouTube videos are still up and haven't been taken down or demonetized, because you do not ask for money, nor do you shill for advertisers. You do it all open source with the humble suggestion of a donation that is not required. Is that true?
Well, not for profit, educational use or critique is all protected behavior under the law. So if they did remove it, I think they know that I could sue them.
Yeah.
They can take, you know, if you say, hey, yeah, let's monetize my channel, you're basically doing the same thing as a birth certificate. You're agreeing to a set of law, and you're agreeing that they can, you're giving up your rights in order to accept their contract, which says they can take your channel down anytime. But in this case, I'm practicing what you would call the, you know, notice, if you will, free speech, protected behavior. And if they did take it down, they might have a lawsuit on their hands. And I'll tell you what, you know, this with this vaccine documentary I'm about to put out, they might take it down. And that'll be really interesting because, you see, I'm listed, I'm checkmarked for copyright violation because I'll use anything in my videos because I'm not charged. Copyright is only for money. I'm not making any money, right? So if they take this down, I have half a mind to actually try a lawsuit against them. Because I don't, most people rely on government to do that, you know. And I'm like, no, if you really want something done, don't go into a class action lawsuit. Do it yourself. The last thing they want, the first thing they want is for 1 million people to join a class action lawsuit. But imagine if 1 million people sued individually. Why do you think they created class action lawsuits? So lawyers can make money and at the same time basically make your case impotent and protect the corporation you're suing, because if they had to go to 1 million different court cases, all the people they harmed, they'd go broke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So why not just do one class action?
Yeah. And nullify the whole thing at the jump.
Everything is a trick. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
Everything has a purpose. All right, man. Thanks so much, dude.
Cool, dude. Thank you so much, Clint, man. I really, really appreciate you. I wish you the happy holiday season and a safe travel wherever you go. And, man, I love you very much. This has been so cool. I'm so grateful to know you, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
Cool beans, man. Thank you.
All right, dude. Talk to you later. Yeah. Pretty eye-opening, man. Pretty mind-blowing. I love that man so much. I'm so proud of him, and I'm so stoked to know that he's out there just doing the Lord's work. And I understand, man, there's a lot of the stuff in this podcast that is fairly biblical, but if you're listening closely, you understand that the Bible, as it turns out, according to Clint, and I tend to believe, is a book of law. That doesn't necessarily change the course of action for those who are Christian, for those who are believers. I'm not quite sure what I believe in. I do know what I believe in, and I still have a hard time. Maybe it's just thanks to the brainwashing. Maybe it's thanks to the socialist brainwashing of formal public education. But I'm still not in love with the idea of calling Jesus Christ my personal savior. I don't necessarily think I need a personal savior at this point in my life. I could change my mind. I still have the ability to say no. And in any case, I hope that that part of the conversation didn't ruffle your feathers or twist your panties up too much, because I think Clint has a lot to offer in his disposition, in his perspective, in his work. The guy's got hundreds and hundreds of hours of research that he's put out there for free, man. It's open source. He has nothing but love for everyone in the world, and he wishes people would just clip his work. Clip his sound bites, take pieces of his book, take pieces of his documentaries and use them in their own research, which is exactly what he did to make his. And that's why his stuff hasn't been demonetized. He's been shadow banned. He's been, I guess, deplatformed here and there, but he cannot be taken down off YouTube because he's not charging any money. It's an interesting thing, right? Imagine just producing something because you have a moral obligation to do so. Crazy. Anyway. This is a value for value production. I hope you found value out of this. I hope you really look into Clint's work. I hope you can support him. And while you're at it, consider supporting Up Is Down. Your input, your support is needed now more than ever, man. I'm about to just pull up anchor and set sail on an entirely new ocean. And I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to do it with your help. And however it shakes out is the way it's going to shake out, man. I mean, we're going right in there and we're causing a ruckus. And hopefully when the dust settles, there's some sort of there's something that I can produce. There's something I can do that's going to be worthwhile. All I know is I'm no longer going to sell my ass for the fucking United States government and the post office. That's for sure. We'll see what happens next. I hope to make the podcast a full-time thing. I hope to be able to produce enough shows that are of enough value that I have enough listeners that could donate what they can, while they can, to encourage me to do more. I don't expect that this would ever be a living as we know it. I don't expect the podcast would ever pay the bills. That's why I'm trying to get multiple sources of income. I'm trying to look back on my conversations with Vin Armani, my conversations with Sal the Agorist, trying to connect with some other like-minded people to start exercising some Agorist attitudes, some Agorist actions, try to look more into cryptocurrency. I got a lot of information about that I want to produce in the future. And at this point, it's just a matter of time. I've been selling all my time for chump change, and I'm willing to take all my time back for nothing. Hopefully I can produce something out of that nothing that's valuable, that you consider valuable, that you're willing to pay for, even if you get it for free. With that, the podcast might change. There could be some pivots along the way that I may have to go behind, not a paywall necessarily, but have some other things that I might be able to sell on the side that I can advertise through the podcast, in which case the support for the podcast would be maybe purchasing one of my products. We'll see how this whole thing rolls out. I will definitely keep you in the loop. You are my dedicated listeners, my subscribers, my downloaders, my donors. I appreciate you almost more than anything beyond my daughter and my relationships here tangibly in my arms today. I don't know how else to express my gratitude to all of you out there besides just giving you a commitment that I will continue to do good work, work that you find valuable, and work that you wish to continue. But that continuation of the work depends on your support. This is how it goes. I really don't want to have to sell commercials for shit products that you don't need or want. I'd rather sell my own shit to you directly. And by doing that, you support me, you support the work, and you support yourself. With that, I guess I'm going to call it a wrap. I'm going to close you out on this episode with another couple of jingles, another couple of songs from Sir Seatsitter, my new homeboy down there in Tennessee with the Abs in the Six-Pack podcast. And until we speak again soon, you got to forgive me for the little bit of a delay between shows from this point on. There's a whole lot of stuff that's got to settle down before I can get back into the groove and record some stuff. But believe me, I have some really cool things in the works. I'm just lacking on time right now to get those things put together. But soon that time will be the objective, and I'll be able to produce things for you that I hope you find valuable, that I will always find fulfilling, because it is always a pleasure to be here with you, to make the kind of stuff that I do, and to know that you're out there and that you appreciate it. Doesn't even matter if you support it or not, just knowing that you're out there, you're downloading, you're listening, you're sharing, is fucking incredible and goddamn amazing. I'm so stoked to be alive right now. This has probably been one of the best years of my entire life. It's also been the most terrifying and treacherous years of my entire life, but I choose not to dwell in that and to think about how they're all entrapping me. I've been using the chaos to my advantage. I've been using the systems and the insanity to work in my favor, and I hope that you've been doing the same. I want to explore more of those ideas as we go into the future, because we know that none of this is going to go away. There's never, ever going to be a return to normal. We are in a whole new world. We're in the new way. We are through the door. The turnstile has locked. The door is locked behind us. There's no going back. All there is to do now is to decide exactly what, how, where, why you want to live. And to push everything into those ideas. Create the life that you want to live starting right now. All right, you guys. I love you all so much. Until we speak again, forgive me for the delay. But man, I'm in the midst of breaking out of my skin. And I cannot wait to reform again in the future. Until then, adios, y'all.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is if you're really, there's two ends of the spectrum, and there's really no in between. You're either enslaved or you're not.
Some free advice? Ever get back there? You hoard toilet paper. Understand me? Hoard it. Hoard it like it's made of gold. Because it is.
I got my toilet paper stacked wall to wall. I'm gonna wipe until I can't wipe no more. Enough hand sanitizer to survive martial law. Gonna hide in my house and lock my door.
Toilet paper in stock, got that Purell on lock. All paper towels stacked, milk and eggs in the back. I ain't got no canned food because I'm low IQ. But that don't mean I'm not prepared. I know exactly what to do.
I'm totally prepared. I ain't even scared. I don't need no food or guns. Martial law gonna be so fun.
Hiding in my
don't have a bunker, but I don't even need one. I'm still gonna have fun. I've seen plenty of movies where there's a pandemic. As long as there's tanks on the streets, I ain't gonna panic.
I'm totally prepared.
Surveillance video shows a stampede of customers clearing the shelves.
Fights over toilet paper breaking out in grocery stores as shelves run empty.
A Bankstown mother and daughter have been charged after a fight over toilet paper in Woolworths.
All I need is toilet paper. I've never felt safer.
President Trump's attempted coup keeps getting dumber and more desperate. Today, his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, had a meltdown live on television as Trump tried to overturn the will of the voters in Michigan. For more on this, it's time for a closer look.
What was the call button? All the networks!
Wow!
All the networks! We have to forget about the all! All the networks!
Let it never be said. Democracy is dead, 'cause the orange man will be a one-term president. Sleepy Joe will succeed, and thus the world will be free. But then Rudy shows up, and now I'm really worried. Rudy!
Wow!
Do ya?
All the network!
Election is cancelled. Rudy's hair dyed drift. So that's the story we told. 'Cause there's nothing that's true besides what's broadcast on screen. That's why there's nothing to do but report on Rudy's dripping hair dye again. Rudy!
Rudy Giuliani held an extraordinary news conference making unsubstantiated claims of fraud.
So that your hair dye is dripping!
Frantic press conference with Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy!
Filled with unsubstantiated claims and wild conspiracy theories, none of which were supported with a single shred of evidence.
President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, did not provide any evidence as he and the campaign's legal team floated the unsubstantiated idea of hair dye streaming down his face.
It's the 9th of December, 2019. The IG report drops any minute. So much excitement, unseal the indictments, can't wait to see Hillary in prison. Then the IG report drops suddenly, and I scroll through to see what it shows. It says Russia Gate was all A-okay. And I'm left here sucking a choke. Bill Barr. String us along, Mr. QAnon Man. String us along forever. String us along for eternity. So we never rise up and fall together. John Brennan may be above the law, and Clapper may always run free, but we still might get McCabe, and we'll all be good slaves, because QAnon will always be. Bads and tell us it's all okay, just shut up and trust the plan. One day the whole swamp will be drained.
We are the 99%.